You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our pastor, the Reverend Charles D. Twyman. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
We invite your attention to the Epistle of Galatians. In the second chapter of Galatians, we want to read in your hearing, beginning at verse 20, these words. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. It goes on to chapter 3, it says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only what I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit by the works of the law? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect in the flesh? My message is entitled in the form of a question. Who has bewitched you? Who has bewitched you? Amen. Epistle of Galatians by the hand of the Apostle Paul, and he has established the church at Galatia in one of his missionary journeys. The Galatians has been called the Magna Carta of Christian liberty and the Christian Declaration of Independence. The difficulty that produced this important epistle was caused by Jewish believers who proclaimed a mixture of Judaism and Christianity. Paul had went to Galatia and he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. He preached that Jesus, who knew no sin, had all sin put upon him. That he suffered, bled, and died upon the cross, was buried, and rose the third day with all power in his hand. He told them that this is God's satisfaction. This is what God's propitiation is. This is what satisfied God, that God sent his Son to die for the world. And all of those who would put their faith in that Son, in the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, they could be saved. And so when they did, they were born of the Spirit, born of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if you ever been born again, you were born from above. Jesus made it plain in John 3:3, he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Don't you see, you must be born again. Jesus said in verse 5 of John 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Brothers and sisters, I tell you again, you must be born again. And I've noticed that when the Bible talks about the new birth, it says the wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound it makes, but you don't know where it comes from or where you see it going, but you see the effects of the wind. And so in the life of the born-again believer, you ought to see some effects. I've learned this to be a fact that when a child is born, a baby is born in the flesh, there are three things that are necessary and needful for the child. First, when the child needs to bond. needs to bound with his principal caregiver, even if it's the nurse in the hospital or somebody. The child has a need to bond. A child left alone will die. The second thing the child needs is the child needs to be fed. The child needs to be fed milk. Amen. Amen. The child comes automatic, and the child will cry until he is fed or she is fed milk. And the third thing, a child will cry because a child hates to be unclean. A baby, that if it soil itself, it wet on itself or soil itself, you have to change that baby. That baby will cry because the baby will not lie in its filth. Amen. He'll let you know. Baby can't talk, but she'll cry. He'll cry long enough to let you know it's time to change the diaper. And I found that in the life of a believer, when you've been born again, those same three things are present. First of all, when you are born again by the Spirit of God, you need to bond with somebody. Oh, yeah, you need to bond with believers. You need to be around people who think like you think. You need to be in a church. You need to bond yourself with someone who thinks like you. You see, the friends that you used to hang out with ain't going where you're going. You can't hang out with them no more. You need some new friends to hang out with who got heaven in their view. Amen. You got to hang out with some people who believe what you believe. And I know sometimes, you get in your family, and they say, you're going to church again, and you're doing this, you're going to Bible study again. It don't take all that. You tell them it take even more than that. If you've never been where I'm going, you can't tell me how to get there. You have to bond. It's necessary to bond. It's necessary to bond with when the word is being preached. And then you need to be fed. You need to be fed with the milk of the word. I've been saved for 40 years and I'm still hungry for the word of God. I can't get enough of this word. I still haven't learned enough. I'm still learning and growing. I'm still hungry for the word. Amen. And then every Christian, every newborn needs to be clean. And I don't have to preach to you to tell you that you nasty. You know when you nasty. You know when you soiled yourself. Amen. But you need to be clean. And you will cry until you're clean. Amen. That's an indication that you've been born again. Now, if those things are not in you, guess what? You've probably never been born again. If you don't feel you need to bond with the church and other believers, you don't feel you hungry for the word of God and a little dab will do you, that's Brill Cream. That ain't Christianity, first of all. And, you know, and you don't feel as though when you sin that you don't feel nasty and you need to repent. Guess what? You're probably not saved. You need to be fed. And that's all I'm trying to do each Sunday when I come here is try to water you. But I'm hoping that as I water you and soak you in the water, that you will grow in God's grace. So I don't come with a lot of foolishness, although I may make you laugh sometime. I'm coming with the word. Amen. I got to put some word on it. I'm not making this stuff up as I go. Amen. There's a plan. God holds me to a plan to tell you something about God's word. And I try to give you God's word every Sunday, every time you come, every Bible study I teach. I try to give you the word of God that you might grow thereby. But the problem comes when you go somewhere else and get some word. You go get some strange water from somewhere and want to bring that water back here. This is what I'm talking about. I had a friend of mine, a preacher friend of mine, and he said, man, every time I love plants. I love to have plants, and people give me plants sometime, and every time I bring a plant home, it dies. He said, my wife would kill every plant. She did. I don't know what she do. She does not have a green thumb. He said, but I had a member who was moving away, and she gave us this beautiful prayer plant. They were moving to the south. They said, Pastor, take care of this. So brought it home, and I gave my wife instructions. I said, baby, you got to water this plant every day. And so after a few weeks, it looked like the plant was dying. He said, baby, come here. He said, didn't I tell you to water this plant? She said, hold up. First of all, you don't tell me nothing. See, all the preachers' wives know what I'm talking about. Ain't that how they talk? Ain't that what they say? Don't be scared. Go ahead and raise your hand. You know that's the truth. You don't tell me nothing. You ask me. Amen. That's the preacher. Why you don't tell? You better not tell. You asked me to. She said, and I did what you asked. But the plant died. She said, I water that plant every morning. He said, oh. Well, the problem is, I see what it is now. I've been watering it every evening. It was overwatered. And the plant was dying from too much water. That's what I'm talking about. When y'all bring all this water back in here, y'all done got from somewhere else. Some of this strange doctrine that come up in here. I'm trying to pray with somebody. She jumping up and doing. I said, what's wrong with you? She said, I'm jumping up to get my blessing. Where you get that mess from? That ain't in the Bible. You want your blessing, get on your knees and thank God for the blessing you already got. There's some strange stuff out there. Too much water is killing the church. Because everybody ain't watering from the book. Amen. There's some toxic water out there. There's some false and errant doctrine being preached. Amen. So if you're influenced by a TV evangelist or pastor because he has a large crowd, don't buy into it. That's that numerical heresy. People think that bigger is better. Bigger ain't always better. Amen. I know a preacher who recently said that, you know, he's trying to add something to his faith. He tells the people, he said, sometimes God speaks to me through a fortune cookie. I said, what? So you mean I got to go buy some Chinese food, get me an egg roll and a fortune cookie for God to talk to me? And I got his word right here, 66 books, and it's free. I ain't got to get no fortune cookie to know God's will. His will is right here in the Word of God. But you'll be surprised how people, everybody in this church out there buying fortune cookies now, amen, to get a word from the Lord. You got to be careful about strange water. So it was that those Judaizers, these legalistic people came to Galatia after Paul had left. And Paul hears about it, and they say that, well, Paul isn't really an apostle. And so Paul has to let people know who he is and what God has done in his life. And so he spends the first two chapters basically authenticating his authority. But he told them in the beginning, he said, there's no other gospel. If anybody come preaching any other gospel, let them be accursed. For there's only one gospel that saves, and that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You don't want to add the law to grace. You cannot add anything to what God has already completed. John 1:17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You cannot mix those two together. But these Judaizers, these that would bother them, came and said that Christianity is good. You accept Jesus, but now you've got to keep the law. You've got to keep the ceremonial law. You have to keep certain days. Those are part of the law. And Paul is writing here to say, no, it's Jesus plus nothing. All you need is the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what they're telling you. You have your liberty in the gospel. That's the only thing that can save is what Jesus did at Calvary. It's a finished work. It's the only thing that justifies you is what Christ has done. You don't have to add anything to this gospel. So in teaching, he tells them, he says, do you not understand that I'm crucified with Christ? I have my flesh died and the law died with it. The life I live in the flesh, but it's Christ living in me because he's down in my heart. And when you've been born again, that's what happens. Jesus Christ gets in your heart and you live for him and he lives through you. So places I used to go, I can't go no more. Things I used to do, I don't do no more. Things I used to say, I can't say anymore. Oh, I want to say some things. It come up, but God won't let it come out. You see, when you've been born again, you're changed. You're not the same. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Things even look different when you've been saved. Amen. If everything is the same with you and all you did was join the church and got the right hand of fellowship and got baptized, that's all you did. You must be born again from above. And if there's a change on the inside, it ought to have an impact on the outside. Come on, come on. Man, don't come up here talking about, I've been born again and you got an earring on. The change on the inside makes a change on the outside. Amen. I wish I would come up here. I'm going to give me two great big loop earrings. And a ponytail. Amen. Y'all want to run me out of here. Amen. If the change is on the inside, it ought to reflect on the outside. That's why I tell y'all presentation matters. You need to dress up when you come to God's house. I know y'all don't like that. Y'all think y'all can, well, the Bible said come as you are. That ain't what that means. It means you already messed up, come anyhow. That's all that means. But you ought to dress up even if you messed up. Can I preach this thing up in here? We have no dress code in this church. But if you've been born again, you ought to bring your best to God when you come. I have a problem with folk, Christian folk, dressing up to go to a cabaret, dressing down coming to church. What's wrong with you? A necktie don't cost that much, men. Crucified with Christ. He lives in me. He lives through me. And then I'm a work in progress. The Holy Spirit has put me in Christ Jesus. And I'm an ongoing project. Whether you realize it or not, you're still a project too. Amen. God ain't through with you yet. You're still a project. Amen. I don't know why some people think that I don't have to go to church, I don't have to go to Bible study, I don't have to go to Sunday school. I had all that when I was a kid, I was raised up in the church, but I'm good and I'm on my own right now. You see, people who have accumulated a lot of stuff don't think they need Jesus. Because they got stuff. They got stuff, they got stuff, and they ain't always had stuff, but because they got stuff, they don't think they need the Lord. They think that church and this stuff we're doing right now called worship, it's for the weak people. No, it's for the people going to heaven. That's what it's for. It ain't for the folk going to hell. I can tell you that right now. And some people think that, you know, I had enough and I quit that now and I don't need to do that no more and I can pick it up when I want to. Amen. That ain't how this thing worked. Amen. You see, years ago when my daddy brought me a bicycle and brought it home and I couldn't ride it. I tried to ride. I kept falling down. And so he put some what's called training wheels on the back of my bicycle. And, you know, I was a little embarrassed because some of the kids down the block didn't have no training wheels on there. But I didn't care long as I was riding. I rode that bike. I had to roll them training wheels off that bad boy, too. I was riding that bike. And then after a while, when I got to riding a little better, Daddy lifted them up a little bit so it only cut me when I turned real tough. And then after a while, he took them off, never to put them on again. Because by that time, I had learned balance. I had learned that only could balance the bicycle. I learned stability. As a matter of fact, later on in my life and years went past, I went out and bought me a motorcycle and taught myself how to ride it and rode it good. Still got a motorcycle in the garage. I don't ride it no more, but I still got it. I know where it is. As a matter of fact, I was so proficient in riding the motorcycle, I could pop a wheelie half a block long. And I've done that. Oh, yeah, riding on one wheel. I can handle it. Amen. I don't do it no more, but I could do it. If you pay me enough money to do it, because I ain't going out there and kill myself. Amen. But Christianity is not like riding a bike or like riding a motorcycle. You see, most of us who learn how to ride a bike, if you pull a bike up here, you can ride it right now, because once you get it, you don't hardly ever forget. But Christianity has to continue to go on and on. You never get enough. You never get enough God. You never get enough word. You never get enough worship. You never get enough work for the glory of God. You never get enough. You should be hungry for the word of God to make your life better and then to make other people's life better. That's what it's about. I can't keep this to myself. I share it with my wife. I share it with my children. I share it with my grandchildren. You got to share it with your family, because you want everybody to be saved because you saved. Your salvation is the work of the Holy Spirit. So who bewitched you? Who fooled you? Who told you that you didn't need everything that God has? Who told you that you didn't need the Holy Spirit working in your life, that you had to add something else to make your life richer? You don't need no fortune cookies. Amen. I heard somebody tell me one time, they said, well, you just lucky. I ain't lucky, I'm blessed. Yes, luck ain't in the Bible. Yeah. Right. Oh, you must live a charmed life. I said, I got some lucky charms in there, but that ain't what I have. It's good karma. I don't believe in no karma, I'm a Christian. Christians don't believe in luck. Christians don't believe in karma. We don't believe in that mess. We believe in Jesus Christ. We walk by faith, not by sight. You'd be surprised how many Christians talk about, well, I believe in karma. You don't even know what karma is. Look it up in the dictionary. You don't believe in no karma. There's no such thing as a superstitious Christian. We ain't superstitious. If a black cat crossed your path, if it's an Afro-American black cat, you might need to get on the other side of the street. Amen. Well, that black cat ain't gonna do nothing with you. Don't walk under a ladder. Well, you ain't gonna be to walk under a ladder no how. What I gotta do with that and do with? This one that get me, if you break a glass, you got 7 years bad luck. What? Cause I broke a mirror? Then they got a remedy for it. If you break a mirror, you get 7 years. You got to take the mirror, broken piece, and go bury it in the backyard. You ever heard that? Oh, y'all ain't got no country in y'all at all. All y'all city-fied folk ain't never heard of nothing. Amen. We got some superstitious people go to their horoscope to see how their day going to be. You better go to the Bible. Oh, that's just a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidental things. I believe in God. I believe that my footsteps are ordered by Him. I can't add nothing to what I have. I don't need that mess bothering my religion. Amen. I don't need no fortune cookie. I believe in God's divine providence. God knows where I'm going. He knows where I've been. He knows where I am right now. He knows how to get me where He wants me to go. Have you not read the Bible? Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. You don't need a fortune cookie. You better preach, Holy Ghost. Amen. I need the Lord every day. I'm a work in progress. The Judaizers came to tell them that what they had wasn't enough, but it was more than enough. Paul argued with them, if you try to supplement the work of Christ, what you do is you supplant it. No. You can't cancel out grace. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Ephesians 2:8-9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are still a work in progress. God is still working on us. understand something. When you're saved, God's not through with you. Amen. He's still working on you. Oh, you may think he's through with you. You may think you got enough, but no, God ain't through with you. Let me explain salvation. Let me explain from a biblical point of view. I've done this before. Christianity is not like that. Once you get saved, that's it. I know, I've been baptized. I read the Bible. I joined the church. That ain't enough. You got to walk by faith. You got to stay in the faith. You see, salvation in Christ is in three tenses. I am saved, I'm being saved, and I shall be saved. Past, present, and future. I am saved, that's my justification. It already happened. I am being saved, that's my sanctification. That's what the Holy Spirit is working in me to be separated from the things of this world. I shall be saved, that's my glorification, because when the Lord take me out of here, I won't be bothered with this mess no more. So I'm saved from the penalty of sin, I'm being saved from the power of sin, and I shall be saved from the presence of sin. That is my glorification. So in all intel, that is what salvation is, and that's exactly what Paul is saying here in Philippians 2:12-13. Wherefore, my beloved, as you always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He is not talking about the salvation that saved you. He's talking about the salvation that keeps you, your sanctification. Because the salvation that saved you, Jesus worked that out already on the cross. Listen what it says in Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, the Holy Ghost ain't never gave up on you. He knows you're a work in progress. He's still working on you. And sometime he will speak to you. Maybe not through a fortune cookie, but he will talk to you. Amen. It is God that worketh in you both to the will to do his good pleasure. God hasn't given up. He stopped working. But don't add nothing to Christianity. We don't need no additive. It's not Jesus plus something else. It's Jesus plus nothing. Amen. Brothers and sisters, don't you understand that we are like mirrors? We are to reflect Christ in our lives. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass glory of the Lord. And we're changed into the same image from glory to glory. Even by the Spirit of God, we're getting better and better, looking more and more like him. Said, when we die, when we go to heaven, when we see him, we shall look like him. Amen. We're going to look like the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I don't know why people want spooky instead of spiritual. They want a religion of convenience, not a religion of faith and sacrifice. They want to pretend to be in the flesh all the while they're really in the flesh, and that's what you call carnal living. Amen. You cannot be carnal and be in Christ. You must be saved by the grace of God. This ongoing work that God is doing in your life. Oh, foolish Galatians, he said, who hath put a spell on you? Before your eyes, and you had a clear description of the death of Jesus Christ, Paul says, because I preached to you. You accepted Christ. Now tell me one thing. Did you receive the Spirit of God that you might be born again, and now you think you got to keep the law? How could you start in one way and think you need something else? Stay in the same thing that saved you. Stay in the Spirit. Don't add anything to it. So this is what I want to say to the church. Who told you that you can live for Jesus and live in the world by doing the things of the world? That ain't what my Bible say. You can't shake your behind at the party, twerk and drop it like it's hot, and don't know how to pick it up, act a fool, and then come to church the next day talking about, I love the Lord, he heard my cry. That ain't working. Did I make it plain enough right then? Man said, man, she's dropping like it hot. I said, you can't pick it up. I bet you that. You can't pin over to pick up a dollar off the floor. Amen. For they that are after the flesh, Romans 8:5, do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's why I tell you, kill the deeds of the flesh, mortify those deeds, those fleshly appetites. You've got to kill those things before those things kill you. So who put a spell on you? Who charmed you into thinking other than that, than what the Word of God says? You don't have to add anything into this. It's complete. Jesus made it complete. Do you not know that when he died on the cross, he died for you, and it was God's business to do it, because God sent his only begotten Son to die for that purpose? That he had you and me in mind when he died upon the cross of Calvary? He came into this world for that purpose, to die for our sins, because the law couldn't do it. The law was not equipped to save us. If that had been the case, Jesus never would have had to die. That's what Paul is saying. He said, I gave you something that God gave me to tell you that all you have to do is have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and continue to walk in that faith. You must have that faith to get to see the kingdom of God. For by grace you're saved. Not of works, but by grace. Don't you know that Jesus came to complete his assignment? He knew that in going to the cross, he was doing what his Father told him to do. That's why when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he said, Lord, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. But he said, nevertheless, let not my will, but thy will be done, because he came to do what his Father told him to do. They beat him with the cat of nine tails. They beat him until he didn't look like a man. They blindfolded and hit him again. Then they took him to Calvary. They nailed his hands. They nailed his feet upon that rugged cross. Yes, they did. They took him down from that cross and they put him in a borrowed tomb. But while he was up on that cross, I heard him say, it's finished. Don't you understand what it means when he said, it's finished? It's completed. You can't add nothing to this. It's over. I've done it. It's finished. When he said it's finished, the blood dripped down and touched the ground, and the ground said it's finished. The ground reached over and touched the grass and said it's finished. The grass went over and touched the tree and said it's finished. The tree touched the leaves and on the branches and said it's finished. The leaves touched the sparrow flying and the sparrow flew off saying it's finished. Sparrow went up and told the eagle, it's finished. Eagle went up and told the angel, it's finished. The angel went to heaven running up and down Hallelujah Boulevard saying, it's finished. It's finished. It's finished. All right. The work is finished. But understand, Jesus didn't say, I'm finished, because I ain't finished. I still need Jesus. He ain't finished with me. He sits at the right-hand side of God making intercession for me. The work was finished. Salvation was finished. But he ain't finished. That every time the devil accused me of something, the Lord says, yes, but I died for that. Leave Twyman alone. Let him repent and turn around. Amen. I'm glad he's not finished. But the plan of salvation is complete. You cannot add anything to it. And I don't care what these jackleg preachers say on TV or anywhere else. Don't add nothing to this. It's complete. It's the finished work of Christ. He's paid it all. Brothers and sisters, we thank God for Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us. We need to add nothing to improve it. So who has bewitched you? Who you been listening to? Read the Bible for yourself. And I don't care how eloquent a preacher he may be, if he don't give them word in that, you leave him alone. Because he's just making up stuff because he likes to talk. Amen. Well, God bless you. Please stand to your feet. We're going to extend the invitation of Christian discipleship.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. And we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.